Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast, gathering evidence from the literature. I'm Mike Pratz, and today I have Cray Bolger with me. Today we'll be reviewing a paper titled The Value of Point-of-Care Ultrasound for Detecting Nail Bed Injury in the ED. This is a paper out of Turkey. Interesting topic. Cray, what do you think?
It's a nail biter, Mike. So nail bed injuries are common. I think maybe our practice patterns differ a little bit in the United States versus abroad. In this study, there was a lot of removal of fingernails when there was crush injuries to the distal finger with any underlying injury or significant hematoma. And so they wanted to look at how often do we really need to be removing these nails, as, you know, this is not a easy or comfortable procedure for anyone involved. So they were looking at the diagnostic accuracy of point-of-care ultrasound for underlying injuries or fractures in patients with crush injuries to the finger. So they brought in any adults 18 to 65. They had to have trauma and a subungual hematoma. They got a little bit more specific. This hematoma had to be greater than 50% of the nail bed, or have an underlying fracture, or have clear disruption of the nail itself. And so if they didn't have any of those findings or didn't consent, they got excluded. This is possibly a convenient sample. It was a little bit unclear. It's a fairly large hospital. They had five physicians who were doing the scanning, and it appears that they were likely only enrolled when those physicians were working. They had five ultrasound certified attendings who had a total of 3 hours of training, both lecture, practical, and hands-on on kind of finger anatomy, essentially.
Okay, so then the patient came in, they had bashed up their finger. What happened to them?
So everybody got an x-ray, and then they had a nail bed inspection by lifting the nail.
So everyone got their nail taken off?
That's what it sounds like. Okay. Pretty uncomfortable and probably not commonplace for a lot of facilities.
Probably not necessary.
Yes. So if there was a laceration or contusion of the nail bed that qualified as an injury, treating physicians did not have access to the ultrasound results. And so they used a linear transducer, scanned both the palmar and dorsal sides of the phalanx, looking for any cortical disruption and any disruption to the dermis as well.
From what you're saying, it sounds like there were actually two injuries they were looking for, either nail bed injuries, like lacerations, mm-hmm. or a bony injury, a fracture in the distal phalanx.
Yep, those were the two that they were looking for. And like I said, this was not the treating physician who was doing the scan.
This sounds like a perfect time where you'd want to use a water bath or a standoff pad.
And they did. If they couldn't get a good picture, that's what they did. Or if the patient couldn't tolerate the exam, they did. Either a 100 cc bag of saline or a water bath.
Okay. So how many did they end up enrolling, and what results did they find?
So they enrolled 45 patients, which seems like a fairly significant number, anecdotally speaking, compared to what I see in my clinical practice. Mean age was 32. Shockingly, 70% of these people who injured their fingers were male, as is consistent with most trauma patients. About two-thirds of these patients had crush injuries, either from falling objects or direct impact. So they found 73% had a nail bed injury. Almost 50% had some disruption of the periungual tissue, 30% had a fracture, and almost 7% had some disruption of the nail integrity.
Those were the injuries, and how did ultrasound find those injuries?
So for the soft tissue injury, it had a sensitivity of almost 94% and a specificity of 100%.
So they missed very few, and when they found it, it was right.
Yep. And for fractures, they didn't miss any. They had 100% sensitivity and 98.4% specificity. So ultrasound was doing very well in this study.
Yeah, it's not often that you see a positive likelihood ratio of 59 or unable to calculate because it's perfect.
Yes, exactly. We strive for perfection in land of ultrasound. So they had fairly high confidence intervals, but that was probably due to the fact that they had a fairly low N. And in fact, ultrasound actually found a fracture that they did not find on x-ray. Now the question is, did that matter, and do all these injuries really need repaired? I guess is more the clinical question. So great, ultrasound's wonderful for nail bed injuries, soft tissue and bony, But does that change our clinical practice?
Right, that's the big question. I mean, even if ultrasound is really awesome for diagnosing pimples, does it mean that you need to use it?
Probably not. It seems a little bit like overkill. And I think part of this probably depends on your practice pattern. So here they were lifting up everybody's nail beds. So if I have the choice to get an ultrasound or have my nail ripped off, I'm probably going to pick the ultrasound. You know, in the United States, we may practice a little bit differently. I can't tell you the last time I removed a nail just to confirm an injury, unless I thought there was clearly one that needed repaired. So I think depends on your practice pattern. Again, if those are your two alternatives, I'd lean towards ultrasound before taking a nail off to confirm injury. But again, I don't know how reproducible this study is or applicable it is to my clinical practice.
I totally agree with you. And kind of like you were talking about, does this change anything that you're doing? I would have liked to see that incorporated into the paper, how many times the ultrasound actually changed their clinical management of the paper. That would have been a more patient-centered outcome that would have been very interesting to see.
Yeah, I think the one thing this does add to kind of the ultrasound world is it confirms the applicability of ultrasound to MSK and soft tissue injuries. So that, you know, fracture detection, maybe you have a patient who can't get an x-ray for some reason, you have a pregnant patient who you want to minimize radiation on, or you're in an austere environment. So say you're doing wilderness medicine at a base camp, you can use ultrasound to help kind of rule in or rule out fractures and soft tissue injuries. I think that's really where this kind of adds some weight in the ultrasound community.
So just to speak of some limitations of the study, it seemed like it was a convenience population, only enrolled when those five providers were in the ED. Fairly small sample size of 45. It's not clear whether the people performing the ultrasound were blinded to the x-ray, as that could obviously introduce some bias. They did also exclude other nail bed injuries if they didn't meet one of those three criteria. So you could have added another 30 patients that were available for the study. And lastly, just discussing the applicability of the ultrasound in this clinical case. Okay, so let's summarize. This was a prospective observational convenient sample population of patients presenting to adult emergency departments with distal finger trauma. They were concerned for finding fractures or nail bed soft tissue injuries. They ended up having a population of 45 patients that met their criteria. These patients led to a sensitivity for nail bed injury of 94% and a specificity of 100%. When you're talking about distal phalanx fractures, 100% sensitivity and 98.4% specificity. All of those were very high. There was some variability in the confidence intervals, but overall it seems to indicate that ultrasound is very accurate for identifying these nail bed injuries and fractures. Now, it remains to be seen how practice changing this would be, but that kind of depends on what your normal clinical practice for these injuries is. Thanks to the authors for performing this study, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel, more
ultrasound gel podcast.